Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
What happened on the way there, I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, I want you to carry this conference with your message. I'm like, okay, you're going to have to make this happen because I can't say, I'm preaching Friday night. I can't say that. God says you are. And I was like, good. So Eddie and Brian, they all was like, man, we just feel like you're carrying it. You're packing it. And we as a local body have watched what I've wrestled this for a year. Really have unpacked the revelation of innocence 2 months. I mean, I understand Diane got up and preached about Jacob, Jesus was naked on the cross. I mean, I have influenced her. I've ruined her, I evidently. You know, she's quoting and using my language. You know, you can get thrown out of a church, girl. Just let me explain something to you. And you know, here I am back as a senior pastor of our church going, okay, God, where's this impact that happened when I was on the road? And I'm going to stay on this message until we get it. See, you have to first receive the baptism of innocence before you'll ever give it away. And if we don't stay on this message, we're going to give away something that's flawed and won't last and won't stay. You know, so the Lord says to me, he says, I want you to do this. Lay it out there. And I did. And it happened all weekend. And I just kissed people on the cheek and declared that they were receiving the baptism of innocence. I wanted to be known for a lot of things. Kissing Prophet was not one of them. I just got to tell you, that wasn't on my resume or my acceptance letter. These people have known me, and they're all like, ooh, where'd the old Charlie go? I was like, what do you mean? This one lady says, we've been afraid of you for 7 years. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, do you remember Pastor Brian said that you were coming and that he would read your mail? He had people confessing of sin that were stealing the money in the church before I got there. And every year it seemed like, and then they saw this mushy crybaby. I cried all the way through the message. Snot, crying, and they've never seen this tender side of me. And in some ways, I'm like, okay, now that I am naked and exposed in front of everybody, that I'm a crybaby, what are you going to do about it? And so, and it's like, I preached it Friday night, but then Saturday morning, Papa Jack, who wasn't there Friday, says, I'll get up and share a little bit more. And then I had to share and kiss everybody. It's like the whole weekend is like SmackDown. But on Saturday night, something happened. I was ministering for people on the left-hand side, and I kissed this person on the cheek and went into a vision and saw Judas kiss Jesus. And he didn't kiss him on the cheek. That was a little weird. But when he kissed Jesus, there was a DNA swap, and I saw it in the spirit. And, you know, here I'm trying to contain myself, and I'm like, what are you showing me? He says, the problem is that when Judas kissed Jesus, he received the DNA of innocence, but he was impatient, and he hung himself before Jesus could finish the work of the cross and declare him innocent. He says, and my church has been living off the Judas kiss and not the kiss of innocence. And he says, I'm going to stop the Judas kiss in the body. Because I've finished it on the cross. And it's like, whew, we keep hanging ourselves when he's already finished the work of the cross. And so I kind of have a new mandate that I'm not going to live by the Judas kiss any longer. And you know, Judas was a good religious Jew. He knew he had erred. He knew that he had betrayed Jesus. How many have betrayed Jesus in this room? But in that betrayal, in that revelation of the betrayal, Judas went to try to pay the debt back, tried to give back the money he had received, and they would not receive it. Religion will never receive it to give you the freedom of innocence. Religion will always hold it against, a record against you. And he knew that he had erred, and he went back to men who had never received Christ like we have, and they wouldn't set him free, so he went and hung himself. And the church has been living off the Judas kiss. We've been living on the wrong side of the cross. On this side of the cross. Listen, I'm telling you what. We need to quit looking at the cross. It's finished. I made something. You want to see a turnip head turn around? I was with Eddie and everybody, and I'm like, listen, I ain't reading the New Testament no more. And like the head started spinning around. They go, what? I said, I'm not reading the Gospels anymore. I did it just shock and awe. It worked. And they're like, we're letting him preach tomorrow? And they go, why? I says, because Jesus was talking in an old covenant language to an old covenant people, and we keep applying a principle that isn't for us. And it just, we've become religious, applying because it's red letter edition Jesus' words, we think he's talking to us. No, there's a principle in there that he's already accomplished. And we keep dragging people. Here's a real good example. Hey, you need to get forgiveness of your sins. Let me drag you to the cross of Jesus. Now get down on your knees and give your life back to Jesus and go to Jesus to forgive you of your sins. The bottom line is I want him to go to Jesus's cross because I won't get on mine. When Jesus died, he rose again from the grave. He breathed on his disciples. The first visitation after the cross and the burial and the resurrection, he breathed on them. He says, whosoever sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they'll retain. And we won't breathe on them and say you're forgiven. We drag them back to the religious cross of Jesus that he said it was finished, and he told us to forgive him of his sins. We keep asking Jesus to do the work that he's already finished because we're unwilling to forgive. And the problem is we're unwilling to declare innocence. Brad comes and he says, hey, I feel so convicted. Will you forgive me? Forgive you of what? I want to know what you're asking forgiveness. And we make him list what he did us wrong with. Instead of going, brother, you're innocent. Because there's no record of what you're forgiven of when you're declared innocent. I'm telling you. And I'm wrestling. This is the reason I'm going to be on this till I get it. I'm laid in bed this morning. What are we preaching today, God? You're going to be on innocence until you get it. I said, I got it. I had this great thing. We got this crisis going on with my dad and surgery, you know, and I have sisters. Is she innocent? No, she's crazy. And all of a sudden, this family stuff, and there's Beverly. I don't even want to talk to her anymore because she'll remember, like, my sister did something when I was a child. Yes, she did. I'm going to kill her now. Listen, when your counselor always brings you back to when you were a child, this is why Jesus said you must come to me as a child. A lot of Christians go get saved of their sins, but never come back to childlike innocence. And therefore, our behavior is not Christ-like because we've never come and started maturing as a child. What's your favorite statement? Other people trying to get past people? Can't use present day people to fix past pain. Take that into the bank. I'm like, I don't want to see her anymore. Except every time she drags me back to that. And then, I mean, I'm laying in bed going, I think we should hang my sister. And I realize I've been mad at her since I was like six. But can I declare her innocent? Can I say innocent and wrong? Is that you, Susie? What did she do? So this message of innocence goes back to your childhood. Quit being religious with me. Find out why you were behaving the way you're behaving, and Jesus will take you back to where you are immature, broken, rejected, violated, whatever your list is, and then bring that to the point where you can understand that he says you're innocent like a child, and when you come to maturity, you'll tell the ones that abused you they're innocent. There's proof that you've received innocence. If you can't prove it, shut up. Work it out. This is working out your salvation. I'm working out my innocence. See, the problem is that we never want to enter into the ministry of reconciliation because I've had conversations of justification. When I can't declare him innocent, I've had a conversation. I don't think he is. And wonder why there's this difference between his heart and my heart. Am I quoting scripture to you? He died to give us the ministry of reconciliation. We want to drag everybody to the cross so we can count nickels and noses. Instead of becoming the man who has a cross, and I declare you that you are forgiven of your sins, you are innocent. I'm like, Lord, I've been wrestling this message long enough to tell you that there's some people that their behavior is not innocent. And he said, Son, it doesn't mean that they're not innocent. It means that they're immature. Do you love them enough to get close enough to them and say, listen, your behavior is destroying your ministry. Your behavior is destroying your marriage. Your behavior is destroying your relationships. But you're innocent. But let me take you back to that's how we can mature. The scripture says to be Christ-like. The scripture says to not break covenant. The scripture says don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. These are behaviors that you bring them back on. What's wrong with you? But do we love each other enough to say, I declare you innocent, but we're going to come to maturity because your behavior is not going to be beneficial for your future. Not my willingness to love you. I'll be there. But I won't facilitate your stupidness. See, this, I believe with all my heart, and I preached it with great conviction. I believe that this message of innocence with the maturing process of being childlike is the answer to sloppy grace. I'm going to go back to my notes because I know they're good. The weapon of purity starts with innocence and is grace in its maturity. The problem is that we got people saying, brothers, it's grace, but their behavior is not innocent. So they're claiming that their grace, because of grace, they can get away with anything. No, when you start with innocence, your grace will be mature and Christ-like, and your behavior will follow suit. The weapon of boldness has to start with innocence, or pride and arrogance will derail your holy boldness and become a trap to you. The weapon of worship will be tainted by self-centeredness without the cleansing power of grace and the revelation of innocence. The weapon of holy humor has to start with power of innocence, or it will become critical, degrading, perverted, and cutting very fast. You saw an example of that between me and Susie. And she cuts to the bone, man. Innocence will dismantle the spirit of perfection. Is that good? If you ever sit with Beverly, get off the performance stage. I'm like, I have to get on the stage. I'm the pastor. But you don't have to do it to perform. There's a difference, because if it's performance, and it's not innocence. Now listen, righteousness is Galatians 3:21-24. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. Where'd Susie go? That'd be Galatians chapter 3. Verse 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Let me tell you something. Some of us need to have a baptism of innocence because our faith is tainted. It's tainted with works. And your righteousness is not pure and it's not holy. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we will be justified by faith. Listen, justified is actually really a different word for innocence. What is innocence? Innocence is union versus oneness. See, the difference is on this side of the cross, we look at the cross, we say, oh, the atonement, yeah, he's going to forgive me of my sins. But listen, forgiveness of sins has a list. On the other side of the cross, the list is burnt. It's Krispy Kreme and you're innocent. That's the difference between union and oneness. The old covenant versus the new covenant. Atonement, expiation, and propitiation. Atonement is to attain forgiveness for your sins. Expiation, E-X-P-I-A-T-I-O-N, to clear away the record, to make it as if it never existed. It is not something you can do, only God can do it. How many of you have been taught, yes, when you sin, there's a videotape in heaven and the devil plugs it in to rat on you, and there's this video of you doing something really bad. It's really bad porn. It's not that good stuff. And then all of a sudden, Jesus paints the video red as if you don't see it. How many have been taught that? That's not what it is. They plug in the video, and it's not you. It's not you doing a dirty deed, and then Jesus covering it. It's Jesus doing the dirty deed. Did he become your sin? Yes. Then it was him and not you. Yes. Otherwise, he couldn't declare you innocent. Are you telling me on the cross he became my bad behavior? Yes. Bing, 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 bing. This is why when us religious charismatic zookeepers make statements like we're going to do greater works than Jesus did, and we start healing the sick, raising the dead, doing greater works than Jesus did. I tried that, and he said to me one day, who do you really think you are? Do you think you can heal more blind eyes, receive cover the deaf hear, the blind see? Could you really? Are you trying to keep a record and do more than me? Oh, are you trying to raise them three times in the same day? Because that would be greater than I did, because I only raised them twice in the same day. Yeah, who are you comparing yourself to, Chuck? Pastor Chucky. No, that was Chuck back then. He says, you have an ego problem. I said, I do. Yeah, ego, edging God out. Because when you take God out from you, you'll try to outperform him instead of be him. Right? So what is it saying? I'll do greater works than him. I declare you innocent. And I didn't even go to the cross. I'm going to forgive you of your sins, and I'm not Jesus. He just happens to live in me.
Yes.
He finished the work on the cross and told me to take everything he gave me and actually do what he did, which is greater. Is that not greater? Then why are we trying to compare ourselves to him on the power of miracles, on the power of all this stuff? You know, we're doing a healing school. You know, our body is being attacked. It bothers me to hold my dad's hand. He can't open his eyes. He's paralyzed. Stroke is taking him out. The doctors are saying this, that, and the other. It bothers me that I don't have the juice. Does it bother you? Because what I'm reading, what I'm living is two different things. That's why we started the healing school. Why? Because we're going to be some healers whether we want to or not. We're going to at least pack the product in you. So if you're smart enough, you can unpack it, right? So going, it's almost, Karen, forgive me, it's almost like Pastor Charlie got with Karen. We're going, we'll make it happen. And it's not wrong because the motivation isn't wrong. But I want to see people healed. I want to see the miraculous release. Listen, it's scripture. It's not wrong to want to believe what he said is ours. But then he sends me to Pennsylvania. And on Saturday or Sunday night, the lady's going, well, when Uncle Charlie, before he came to kiss me, the power of God hit me and healed me from something I've had been carrying her knee and her leg. I'm thinking, I've been waiting for that. And God says, I've been waiting for you when I kiss people. I'm like, I want to be a power broker. I don't want to be a crying, kissing prophet. That's just bad for the image. God says, first night there is this guy who looks like, how big was that Larry guy? Huge, bald head, rough. Why do I need to go tell him I love him? I don't know him. Okay, I will. Hey, can I kiss you? If he doesn't like to kiss, I'm in trouble. So then his girlfriend, who knows me, and I didn't know it was his girlfriend, oh, he needs some time with you. Nope. I've kissed him once. I ain't spending no time with him. Oh, Uncle Charlie, don't give me that. all right, I got an hour window in the afternoon. Have him come by the hotel. Dang it, he showed up. I'm thinking, oh, I'm a prophet. I'm going to give him a word. I'm going to tell him he's taking back to his childhood events. Lord says, no, you're not. You're going to listen. Shut up and listen to him. And he talked for an hour and a half. And talked for an hour and a half. There was no prophetic utterances. There really wasn't any correction. It was a lot of confessing. It's amazing how innocence will make you quit sleeping with your girlfriend. And we just talked. I'm like, Lord, was this a waste of time? He says, it's never a waste of time. He says, your kiss on his cheek opened up a vulnerable, he was willing to be vulnerable. Because you declared him innocent, he thought he could talk that way to you. So what was his testimony? Sunday morning, he gets up. I got to share this with you. I'm driving through the get gas, and I see a cousin who was a drug dealer and stole from my parents. And I'm like, bah! I drive, and I went to my storage unit, and God spoke to me, and I had to go back and find her. Find her in the front of her house. Declared her innocent. I'm like, he got that out of me listening for an hour and a half. Not prophesying. One kiss, listening for an hour and a half, and he's driving down the road telling his cousin that had done things that were he had record of wrong against his family. I declare you innocent. Another lady comes, and she says, you've changed my marriage. And I said, I did. Yeah, my husband cheated in 2005. I forgave him. Last night, I rolled over and kissed him on the cheek, and I declared him innocent. And he goes, that's amazing. I said, it's amazing. I said, do you know your sex life will change if you're innocent? He went, amen, brother. I mean, there's benefits for sacrifice here. Susie, you're innocent. I'm no dummy here. Listen, this is, I'm serious though. Atonement, expiation, appropriation. Appropriation, he did not just take away my sin or punishment. He became me. The one who knew no sin became my sin. Susie, let's jump to 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. See, we've watered Jesus down. Religion has stolen what he accomplished on the cross. I have figured it out, and we've all heard it. Jesus wants to partner with you. He wants you to do, and he does. But the problem is, I think, here, let me introduce you to my partner. Let me introduce you to my partner. Jesus, you need Jesus. You need, come to church, and you need to go back down there again. It didn't work first time. See, Jesus is partnering with me, and I'm the vessel, and I'm going to explain who Jesus is to Brad. And Brad's going, you may need to go down and pray a little bit more. You and Jesus need to get it right. But Jesus doesn't want to partner with us. He wants us to become like him. If he said, I can declare him forgiven, or I can retain it, we in the body of Christ have been retaining too much. And wonder why we're weighted down. Amen. You can go sit down. You repented really well. Listen, listening to this construction worker crazy guy. Just listening. One kiss and an hour and a half of listening. He's got it. He's got it. I didn't rebuke him. I just kissed him. and declared him innocent and let God do the rest. Let God tell him, hey, you need to stop that. So I said to Brian Higby, I said, he goes, so we're driving back to Philadelphia. He took me to Philadelphia after that. And I said, he goes, so what'd you think? I said, Higby, you know, I've been coming here a long time. I said, your people confessed of more sexual sin than I've ever heard in my life. And he said, well, we are a horny bunch. I said, I'm serious, dude. And he goes, that's why God sent you. And since then, he's like, he's getting emails and confession and cleaning up some stuff and broken covenants and things that had happened years ago that people had hid. And this is what the kiss of the baptism of innocence is doing. And it's a well-established church. I mean, it's a pretty good sized church and growing. And God can handle all that. We just need a fresh kiss. We need to start over with the foundation. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Who? No one? Huh. Do you know why you can't declare someone innocent? Because you don't see them in the spirit, you see them in the flesh. And when you can't declare someone innocent, you're not looking with the right eyes. We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him this way no longer. Lord, what are you telling me? He said, quit reading the Gospels for a season. That was me in the flesh. They still let me preach. But would you say, don't read the Gospels for a season, and God told me to, he's trying to detox me from religion. What does it look like? It looks like, be careful how you judge, Matthew chapter 7. Susie, put that up real quick, Matthew 7. Look at those scriptures. Did I tell you that, Matthew 7? Yeah, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not that you will not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He's talking to old covenant judging Jews. He's telling them the day is going to come, you need to be more careful. What's the principle here? When I go to the cross and I put judgment in your hands, what you judge will come on you. Brad, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to hold it against you and wonder why I feel raw on the inside, why I don't find his presence. Mark chapter 11. You want mountain moving power? Forgive. Listen. So he's warning Old Testament Jews, the way you've been judging is good, but the day's coming. Listen, I'm telling you, this will make the Pope cry. Be careful how you judge. Why? Because Jesus says, what he's saying behind the scenes is, I'm about to go to the cross. I'm going to hand you the responsibility to judge. And if you judge incorrectly, what judgment you won't do will come on you. Next verse, Mom. Go back to the other verse. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? One of the versions is a beam. Where do they hang Jesus? On a beam. I can't heal my brother's speck if I'm dragging him to the beam. Or if my identity is the only way he can get forgiven of his sin and removal of that speck is if I drag him to the beam of Christ, I can't even see his speck because it's not my responsibility. Religion will say, you must be part of my church to get my favor, to get my blessing, and I'm the apostle doodad, and you really won't be blessed if I don't bless you. Oh, we'll do that with religion. But we won't say, I see a speck, let me remove your speck, because I'm not blinded by the cross of Jesus Christ that gave me the power to remove your speck. Is this good? This is why in the New Testament, he says, be careful how you judge, because how you judge will come back on you. You can't see your brother's speck because you have a log in your eye. And the problem is, if you got a log in your eye, now you become self-righteous. When you're self-righteous, you can't see specks because it's not my responsibility. He's just a rotten sinner. Are you okay? You need to see Beverly after this because I'm picking on you pretty good there. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that is in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. First remove the plank in your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Quit making the cross your idol instead of your access. Listen, I got people mad at me over that statement. I made it first time prophetically here, if you remember. I got people online wrote me email. I can't believe it. I wouldn't make that, you know, because they feel like I'm degrading the cross. No, the cross finished what it was supposed to do, and I'm supposed to do what it did do now in a greater way. Yes. Quit making me, quit accusing me of killing your idol when you won't. Is that good? Yes. I'm going to read two more scriptures and we're going to go. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8 in the Passion Translation. So remove every trace of your leaven of compromise with sin so that you might become new and pure again. For indeed, you are clean because Christ, our Passover lamb, who has been sacrificed for us. Listen to this. Verse 8. So now we can celebrate our continual feast, not with the old leaven, the yeast of wickedness or bitterness, but we will feast on the freshly baked bread of innocence and holiness. We will feast on the freshly baked bread of innocence and holiness. Listen to Ephesians 1:4. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe because of his great love. He ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. We've watered down the gospel. We've watered it down to the fact, and I lied, Susie, go to Galatians. Yeah, I'm going to hit some highlights. Galatians 6:11. I'm going to hit the highlights and then somebody else read it. Go read Galatians 6:11. Here's what it says. Paul says, I write this with my own handwriting. In other words, he didn't use a ghostwriter. See, what large letters I'm writing to you in my own handwriting. Verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing of the flesh who would force you to be circumcised and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Listen, we have big churches because leadership's unwilling to be persecuted for telling you the real word of the cross. That's dragging your people to the altar to become a member, to get forgiven and raised up in maturity in the Christ under my leadership. Because I'm unwilling to be persecuted by the religion that said you're free. You're innocent. That makes sense? It's right there in Scripture. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. I got a big church, 5,000 members. Woo-hoo! But far be it from me to boast except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the finished work of the cross. Who's writing this? This isn't red letter Jesus writing. This is Paul writing in his own handwriting. Go on next, Sue. Which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We keep dragging people to the cross of Jesus because we don't realize that I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. I am your answer to your sin problem. What does it say? Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified to the world. Are you in Christ? Were you there at the cross? And what's your problem with that belief system? If you can't get this, you'll never declare him innocent. And I to the world. By the way, welcome to ministry now. In a greater way, in a greater dimension. How many have wrestled with the fact, like Dan was talking about, that same list of sins that he's repented for 25 times? How many wrestle that? It's time to take your list. Get along with God. Here's my problem, because I don't like sloppy grace. Don't bring your list of forgiveness. Hey, quit kissing your wife. Get a room. See, sloppy grace. There he goes. Prophet at hand. Can't. Never mind. Listen, you made me lose my train of thought.
Get along with God.
Here's my antidote to sloppy grace. Get along with God with your list. That you keep, forgive me of this, forgive me of that, forgive me of this, forgive me of that. And then 2 years later, another crisis comes and you go, the same stinking list. Same stinking list. Why? Because your identity hasn't changed to innocence. But here's the bottom line. If you keep bringing that list keeps coming up. You haven't spent time with God to give him the list and to hear him declare you innocent, but immature, and behavior must change. I love Jesse DePlanis' story one time. Pastor Jesse, I keep cheating. I need help. I need accountability. Okay. Picks up the phone and calls his wife. You got accountability now, Bubby. She has your list. And your behavior is either going to kill you or she's going to murder you. Listen, somebody's got your list. Either the devil or you, or you're going to become declared innocent and give it to Jesus. Let him change your DNA. Let him change who you really are. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Mama. I told you I was done. It's still early. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. Say that. All this is from God. Listen, if you haven't gotten along with God and become a creation, you're probably in trouble, because only that can come from God. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. So did Jesus take care of all the sins of the world? The world does not have a sin problem. Jesus is waiting for us to reveal who we are and who he is to us. Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's my message. An ambassador is sent to another country to represent that whole nation, that whole kingdom. Are you an ambassador that can forgive sin? Am I wrong? God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now listen, I have challenged scholars, preachers with this message. They've tried to do a beat down, and they're wrong. But many are unwilling to suffer persecution to preach the unadulterated gospel and the power of the cross that he gave us to walk in. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to start giving people the kiss of innocence, the baptism of innocence. And it's time for you to receive it. As a prophet, I have prophesied the next move of God is the Father's love coming. The problem is the body of Christ does not believe they're innocent enough to receive it, and we stiff arm him. I'm going to tell you, the problem is the 11th hour worker is about to show up and start kissing the world that will receive it, and the church is going to be left in the dark. Because when the world starts getting kissed by the Father, they won't stiff arm him. They're going to cry, oh my God, I've been waiting for this forever. And you're going to wake up one day and realize religion stole your seat. How many need a fresh baptism of innocence? Stand up. Can't have more. It's like Nestea iced tea. Take a new plunge. Assume the position. Say, Lord, I've heard the gospel today. Sometimes it's too good to be true with my peanut brain. But I open my heart to receive the baptism of innocence that you are giving me because of what you've done on the cross on my behalf. Saturate me. Consume me. Overshadow me. Cleanse me. Give me the new mind of how good you really are. Let it be about me and you for a small season. But I give you permission to prompt me to prove that I have received the baptism of innocence and position me to declare it to others that I've been unwilling to reconcile with. Me first. Huh. them next so I can be like you. In Jesus' name. Father, just receive it. Now, give him your list. Watch it burn up because he's a consuming fire. Give him your list. Papa, here it is. You're a consuming fire. Burn up my list. Just let me smell the smoke of the list. But then it'll be fleeting. I won't smell it again. It won't be part of me. By the way, Jesus, it's now part of you. Because you became what I've held against myself. And I receive you. As we spend time together, Lord, there's some area of immaturities. I hear you cry on the cross, God, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they've done. Lord, forgive me because I do not know what I've done. I'm paying a price that I want to pay. So change me, mold me, shape me. Like the little innocent child that you say I am. Hold me in your arms. Prove to me that you love me enough to spank me so that my behavior will come into alignment to who you say I really am. Some of you just went tilt. The only proof in Scripture that you're a son is that you actually receive discipline. It's the only scriptural reference to the proof of sonship. Say, Daddy, I can take a spanking from you because it'll mold me into the image of Jesus. God is better than we think he is. He's made it so simple. There's really no excuse for us not to walk in peace and power. I've been looking for the power. I've heard the testimony. Before Uncle Charlie kissed me, the power of God hit me. Be willing to go give away the baptism of innocence and watch the signs and wonders follow you. Do we need to study? We need to hear testimony, live examples, yes. But I'm telling you, it starts with a foundation of innocence. Miracles with any other foundation will become self-sabotage because you'll build the wrong kingdom. Just receive it. As 2 Corinthians said that you become a new creature. You're a new creature, somebody that never existed from this moment on. When Jesus showed me himself hanging on the cross, he said, Son, you may have the same social security number, but you're no longer that man. You've become new. Say, I'm new. Some of you need to say, I need to reintroduce myself to you. This is the new version. This is the innocent version. Innocence has nothing to prove. It's just innocent. What are you going to do with innocent? Embrace it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.